You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Well, it looks like we've put a whole new meaning to the word adult entertainment here, haven't we, Board of Ed? Adult entertainment used to mean adults going to strip clubs, watching other adults engaged in sexual behavior. Well, now, thanks to this board, we see adult entertainment as a bunch of high school staff watching young children for their entertainment. And to those of you who still retain your seats, those days are numbered. Because we will continue to expose the evil that you're doing in secret and behind closed doors. Just the fact that you have to hide this garbage tells us how evil it is. In the meantime, while you guys still temporarily hold these seats, remember we are looking at all avenues of holding you accountable for these actions.
Oh my God, there's another terrorist. There is another terrorist showing up at a school board meeting. Somebody call the Attorney General, Merrick Garland, get the FBI, the Department of Justice, and find that guy and arrest him and all the others. Welcome. Glad to have you on board. December 2nd, 2022. We are live streaming as I speak at rumble.com. You go to Larry Connors USA and you simply insert one word, Larry Connors USA, and it'll take you right to the studio. In fact, I think you might like the shirt I'm wearing today. Huh? I think you will. If you can't watch now, pull it up later. I know a lot of you watch later. And, of course, if you miss any part of the program, you want to hear it later, you can also pull up the podcast later in the day at LarryConnorsUSA.com or any of your podcast forums. We're on all of them, so we can be found anywhere. That was a parent, one of many, speaking at a New Jersey high school board meeting because the high school had held a drag show during school where the performers for the select staff were there watching. In other words, students were also taking part in some of the drag queen operation and posing as drag queens. Parents obviously outraged, showing up to complain, rightly so. I have told you repeatedly, I have several missions for this program, but it comes down to three. First of all, I remind you, this is a program for patriots. So I don't really care if you're a Democrat and you're a Trump hater. I don't care. Are you a patriot? If you're a patriot, we have things in common. That's where we start building. I also point out to you that I want to make sure that this program fights every day, as often as needed, to save unborn babies. And the third point, the third mission of Larry Connors USA is to protect your children from woke predators. They're out there constantly trying to find a way to get into your child's mind and then sometimes into their pants, and trying to hide it from the parents. And by getting into their parents, they're just simply maybe trying to castrate boys, say, well, you're a girl, or chop off the breasts of girls, say, you're a boy. I'm going to fight against that every day. So we have a lot of that yet to come today. We're also going to look at the new Hakeem Jeffries, the new House leader. This man is setting history already. Of course, he is making it clear that he is now the first black leader of the House Democrats ever. And he's got some points he wants to make to GOP members. And they're not all bad until you listen and read through. And then he pays homage to Nancy Pelosi. It's almost enough to make you cry. And then we're going to look at TikTok. More truth about TikTok and how TikTok has been used to invade our elections, change elections, and invade your home and, again, prey upon your children and get information from them. It's not as simple and innocent as many might believe. And we have more layoffs at CNN. Could it get any better on a Friday? I think not. We'll celebrate the end of this program today with a bottle of Jack. There'll be enough for everyone. Make sure you let your family, friends, even your enemies know we're on the air. You can again watch us at rumble.com. And I want to encourage you to continue listening. You get hold of them and tell them Larry's on the air right now. And you know what comes next. You know. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
I personally know at least three people who got sick from mold. It's not uncommon for homes, businesses to have a leak somewhere, and it doesn't take long for mold to start growing. Well, of course, I recommend Wellington Environmental. You don't want a company that's just going to clean up the water. Wellington has 34 years of experience. In fact, hospitals often have Wellington inspect and treat mold. Do what they do. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Call Wellington for a mold inspection, air testing, professional remediation. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rated with the Better Business Bureau. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner. Better. Safer. Be well. With Wellington.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Good afternoon, everyone. It's an honor to stand before you today as the incoming House Democratic leader for the 118th Congress that will convene on January 3rd, and to be joined by my two good friends, amazing colleagues and partners, the incoming House Democratic Whip, Catherine Clark, and the incoming Caucus Chair, Pete Aguilar.
And so it begins, at least for the House Democrats at this point, as to who's going to be leading the minority members of the House. That would be the Democrats. But I want to tell you something, a little secret right here, which we're going to get into in more detail in a moment. It is very possible, even though the GOP will end up winning the House chamber, so therefore would have control of one of the houses of Congress, truly serving as a check and balance against anything the Senate wants to do, still under Joe Biden. And of course, the Senate thing is still somewhat in the balance, depending on what happens in the Georgia election this next week. We'll be getting into that as well. But it is very possible, and partly in due to spineless Republicans, that the Democrats will end up actually controlling what the House does. Oh, Larry, say it's not so. It's not so. It is so. And I'll explain in a moment. Let's begin by talking more about Hakeem Jeffries, first black leader of Democrat House. And, of course, he will succeed Nancy Pelosi. Now, he's 52 years old, entering his second decade in Congress, so he has experience. He represents a New York district that encompasses parts of Brooklyn and Queens. And he is basically getting a smaller and somewhat divided caucus from Nancy Pelosi after the midterm election. because that showed key voters had soured on some of the policies promoted by the party's most liberal faction. Veteran Democrats are being quoted as saying Jeffries is well-positioned to manage divisions in the ranks, and in particular, members of the ultra-liberal squad. These remarks are coming from an article appearing in the Washington Times yesterday. And I'll repeat that he could be in good position to control and even limit members of the ultra-liberal squad. They are the ones, of course, with the views that include defunding police, implementing drastic green energy policies, passing massive social welfare, spending often at odds with the rest of the Democrat caucus because, as we have said repeatedly over and over again, many Democrats do not buy into this green pie-in-the-sky energy altar that they are worshiping in front of. Of course, Joe Biden does, and many members of the Democrat Senate do, and many members of the Democrat House do, but there are others that don't, and those who do buy in, they do it timidly. You know, you ever draw a bathtub of water, and you're not really too sure if it's too hot, so you just dip your toe in it, just slightly, or maybe drop just a finger, just to test it. You know, it's warm, so you start to settle in. It gets a little warmer, and pretty soon you begin to feel like maybe you're like a lobster served at the White House last night, which I will also talk about in a moment. But there are Democrats that really do not want to be tied to the ultra-left. They are being held hostage at this point. And according to Congressman Benny Thompson, Mississippi Democrat, I couldn't think of a better person than Hakeem Jeffries who could better manage our relationship with the Ultra Squad. He gets along with every faction in the body. They all supported him, so he comes and brings credibility to the discussion. Now, that's what Congressman Thompson says. How much of that he believes, I don't know. He did clearly recognize in his speech, Congressman Jeffries, in becoming the new House leader, he gave a shout-out to various political factions that will make up the caucus of 213 Democrat lawmakers. He named the Moderate Blue Dog Coalition, the Pro-Growth New Democrat Coalition, the Liberal Progressive Caucus, and others. But no single group, he says, will control him. Says no single group will control him. Now, that's got to be a slap in the face to AOC and the rest of them. In fact, therefore, he sent a public message to the rank and file. The caucus will not be ruled by demands of the squad. Congresswoman AOC, the New York Democrat, who once plotted to oust Jeffries from office. Who do you think's got a target on her back? But he's also said, I'm going to be working with the GOP. I mean, I think we have to work together. So, Republican members of the Congress, I will be working with you. But, of course, you have to keep in mind when he says that, he's talking about some Republicans.
We look forward to finding opportunities to partner with the other side of the aisle and work with them whenever possible. But we will also push back against extremism whenever necessary.
Extremism, like Trump supporters. Now, that's different than Proud Boys and KKK, but in the minds of a lot of Democrats, they don't see the difference. They don't know it, or they won't recognize it, or they simply want to convince you otherwise. It's not the same. Just like not every Democrat is going to walk the same line that Hakeem Jeffries has in mind. There will be dissension. In fact, he even addressed that. He said, sometimes we can have noisy conversations, but as we show time and time again on issue after issue, at the end of the day, we always come together, find the highest common denominator, and get big things done for everyday Americans. Now, that's a great little speech. Problem is, coming from a Democrat, even Hakeem Jeffries, now the new House leader for the minority party, when they say coming together and get things done for everyday Americans, it does not include generally you. It generally includes big handouts and helping those who are crying out for social justice and things of this nature and claiming, again, this country is systemically racist and polarized. And you wonder why? Because they continue to insist that it is. And I remind you again that in 2018, when AOC, in her first year in Congress, she was plotting at that time, at that very time, to find a way to get Jeffries out and get some other superstar, ultra-liberal in place. So he knows what she did. She knows that he knows. So that could be a very interesting presentation going forward, how they try to present themselves to the public and the other members of the caucus, smiling, shaking hands, and then turning around and, you know, it's much like the girl at the dance. In the days of old, some of you may know this, some of you might not. I know it, I was going to say only from history, but no, I actually participated as well, so I have to admit this. If a girl was dancing with somebody and you wanted to dance with a girl, the proper way to do that was to go over and tap the guy on the shoulder, indicating you want to cut in. Generally, at that time, nobody pulled a gun and started shooting. Generally, at that time, they politely stepped aside and let you continue the dance with the lady. But the ladies, the smart ones, the smart girls, were, of course, looking at the guy that was coming and tapping the other one on the shoulder who was standing behind the man. And she would pivot around, so then she's looking, as she begins to change positions, to the man she was dancing with, and looks at him like such a frown, like, oh my God, I'm so sorry, it's been great, but I'm so sorry to leave you. And then she would turn and look at the one who cut in, and smile with a beam that said, I thought you'd never save me. That's what we're going to be watching play out in the Democrat caucus between Jeffries, AOC, and the rest of her squad. Now, he made time to make sure he gave high praise to Nancy Pelosi. And as you listen to this, I should encourage you right now. We'll take just a moment to give you time. You might want to get a bucket. You might feel a need to get a little nauseous. If you're driving, you maybe need to slow over, get off to the side of the road briefly. If you're listening where you can go down the hall to the bathroom and continue listening to us on one of our apps, KXEN 1010AM.com, because as you listen to them, praise Nancy Pelosi. Fight back the gag.
I also want to convey my thanks to Speaker Nancy Pelosi, an extraordinary speaker for the ages, who has delivered so much for so many over such a significant period of time. Our caucus is better. Our country is better. The world is better because of Speaker Nancy Pelosi's incredible leadership.
Excuse me for a second. Yeah, that was pretty hard to take, wasn't it? As a speaker for time, yeah, going all the way back to the Woolly Mammoth. Woolly Mammoth, I'm sorry. Yeah, she would have been good for that time, too. So here we have the Dems are going to have their House Speaker. GOP officially has to pick it, so that would be McCarthy. But there's a problem here. It is possible some of the games being played right now Karl Rove, former advisor to President Bush, points out, if we're not careful, Democrats will end up picking the leadership for the Republicans.
Can you imagine every Democrat, 213 Democrats, voting against Kevin McCarthy and being joined by five Republicans? How would that make those five Republicans look? You're associating with the opposition and keeping a Republican from being elected Speaker of the House.
Crazy.
And, you know, this is being led. Mark Levin had it absolutely right. This is being led by a bunch of knuckleheads and morons. I mean, one of the leaders of this group is a guy named Bob Good from Virginia, the 7th District. He defeated an incumbent Republican congressman in a primary 2 years ago. And then in a Republican district had to be bailed out with a couple of million dollars of spending by the party committees and super PACs to get him elected in a Republican district. He comes in. He's a freshman member. Every member is asked to contribute a certain amount to the Republican Congressional Campaign Committee. Freshmen are given the lowest number possible because they're freshmen. He contributes zero. And now he's the guy who says, I'm in charge of deciding who the speaker is, and I've got four other knuckleheads with me, and we're not going to vote for Kevin McCarthy. We're voting with Nancy Pelosi, AOC, the squad, and every Democrat in order not to have McCarthy become the choice of the Speaker of the House.
That would be appalling. And it's a realistic possibility. The GOP wins the House, but while they're the majority party, the Democrats are helping pick the leader. Say it's not so. Well, it is so. We need to be on watch for it. Coming up, the rail strike averted, and a lot of the rail members are upset because Lunch Pail Joe failed them. Well, President Biden this morning signed the bill passed by Congress to prevent a railroad strike and block the workers from striking. This was the same agreement they had back in September, but then some of the railway members, rank and file, did not like the fact, you know, we're not getting paid for sick leave when we should. And that became a sticking point. And Joe Biden, of course, has made a big deal out of his longtime history of supporting trains and railway workers and unions. But he really ended up signing a bill that overrides their threat to strike for better working conditions. And the president said, it was a tough decision. I want you to know it was a tough decision. But it was the right thing to do at the moment. He said a railway shutdown would have devastated our economy. I don't disagree with that point. We didn't need it, but I don't know if that's the way he wanted to go about it. But they were facing a deadline coming up next week that they were going to go on strike, possibly. And the way it works, of course, if one union starts picking the railway, they all refuse to cross the line. Biden admitted, look, I know this bill doesn't have paid sick leave, which he has supported for all American workers, but he's not fighting for the railway workers on it. You're sick, you're legitimately sick, you normally get paid, correct? And Biden's a big fan of that as well, but he just said, not for the railway workers. But then he added, the fight isn't over. He said, things are moving, we're moving in the right direction. I'd mentioned the other day that maybe he would fall back on the Taft-Hartley Act, the 1947 federal law that extended and modified a previous act prohibiting unions practices, certain practices, and basically was initially vetoed by President Truman, but Congress overrode the veto. And it was to make sure that in partly that groups would have to continue working and negotiating. They couldn't just simply go stop everything affecting the companies and the unions. But this time around, it appears most of the focus was on, because it's railway unions, Railway Labor Act, passed back in 1926, again, one of the initial labor laws of the nation. In 1926, most of the railroads had already been unionized, some all the way back to the mid-18th century. So they were trying to find a way to regulate labor regulations or negotiations, I should say, between unions and management, rather than simply overseeing organizing campaigns for new unions and new members. So with the House going to vote Wednesday as they did to impose this unpopular contract on all four unions where members had already rejected the terms, and then to be followed up by the vote by the Senate yesterday, that was the way they were going to do it and get it to the president. So now we don't have a December 9th railway strike coming. It would have shut down about 30% of the nation's freight shipments. And I've told you before, yes, I would agree that would be devastating at this point. Think of the things that would suddenly stop being going shipped by rail. Every flammable or hazardous chemical. That would also include chlorine, which is used to put into water supplies. And then, of course, it also means getting gas and fuel to different parts of the country where they need it, where it's offloaded to trucks. So trucks would be trying to take over all of it. Like the trains, they'd be operating on diesel. Then there's already a shortage of diesel, and there's a shortage of trucks, truck drivers. So the Railway Labor Act, overseeing railroad and also airline labor relations, just looking for a way to cool things off. That was the intention. In this case, Biden just decided, no, we're going to go ahead and put a stop to it right here, right now with my pen. But he's got to turn around to the railway union workers. He says, I've always been one of your guys. I'm Lunch Joe Pail, Lunch Pail Joe, you know. Blue-collar worker. Man's never done a blue-collar job in his life. Oh, I'm sorry. If you count him at the swimming pool as a lifeguard with the kids running their hands up and down his legs, I guess that counts. Coming up, the battle for Georgia, the U.S. Senate, very big issue.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
For some companies, loyalty is a lost word. You give a company your business, your years, but in the end, you're just a number. But at Ackerman Toyota, loyalty is appreciated. Thousands of customers personally know this. New Ackerman customers quickly see it. Loyalty defines Ackerman Toyota for all customers and employees. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Look, I think we're seeing Democrats really taking a run at the early vote in this special that's airing on Peacock right now. It's airing through December 6th.
Oh, great.
I talked to a Republican strategist, Brian Robinson, and we had a whole conversation about why Republicans have not made more of a play for early vote. When you talk to Republicans in Georgia, they talk to you about, oh, these are these blue counties turning out. Republicans are going to turn out on Election Day. Well, it's not necessarily so sure. There are counties like Greene where Republicans are showing up. These are less populous counties than counties like Douglas, Rockdale. We look at Fulton County, a Democratic stronghold, Cobb County, which went blue in 2016 and has been trending blue since then. So I just really think that this is a turnout game. That's why you saw President Obama there on Thursday. Today is the last day of early vote in Georgia.
I see.
There is no early vote on Saturday. There is no Sunday vote. And the next opportunity people have to vote is on Election Day after today.
Those are the words of Simone Sanders Townsend on MSNBC, political analyst. She raised some very interesting points. Of course, we're talking about the Georgia election, the Senate seat race, which is going to be decided coming up this next week. And the point she made about the early voting Republicans, conservatives, and I'm kind of one of them. It depends. I can find arguments either way. I guess that's why I was such a good debate opponent in college, because I can always see the other side, and I can present it as if I really believe in it. But at the same time, it's if you're going to have to make a decision, it comes down just one way. Early voting is okay if it's properly controlled, but the more you do it and the more days that are open and the earlier you start it, you just open up more opportunities for fraud. That's a simple fact. It doesn't mean that does happen every time, but it gives it an opportunity. You're leaving the key in your car, the door's unlocked, and you're basically inviting someone to take it if they want to. But Republicans better learn how to play that game and get better at it, because the Democrats continue pushing earlier and earlier voting and the absentee voting and the ballot harvesting and all of this. And Republicans, they're so against it, they just don't want to deal with it. They don't fight it properly. They just want to argue against it. You need to get into the trenches and find a way to make it work for you. If that's the new rules of the game, make it work. We, of course, have Senator Warnock, Democrat of Georgia, against former football star Herschel Walker. Now, Warnock did beat Walker by 36,000 votes in the initial round of voting back in November 8th, the midterm. But he did not get the necessary 50% of the votes cast, so that meant that there has to be a runoff. The reason he didn't is because there was a Libertarian candidate that pulled some of the votes. Now it's just one-on-one, Walker, and of course, Warnock. The Senate has been split 50-50 throughout Biden's first 2 years in office. That means if there's a tie vote, if you don't have any Democrats crossing to the Republican side or Republicans going the other way, you basically end up with a tie vote on a major issue, then the deciding vote is cast by the vice president. So here we have this situation that we also have members of the Republicans that, you know, you can't really say they're going to vote down the Republican line anyway. Sinema was, for instance, she's one of them. Manchin and Sinema on the Democrat side, and then on the Republican side, Cheney and various other numbers I could come up with, members. But the issue we have here is too important to just simply play by the old rules. So if the Democrats are out there and they're gaining more ground because they're taking active action on this early voting, and it's too late to start today because they won't have any voting tomorrow. It does happen today in Georgia. There will not be any tomorrow. There won't be any Sunday. And so then they're rolling right into the election itself. Herschel Walker has not been the most pristine candidate for the Republicans. Let's be candid about that. Neither is Warnock. But it's a matter of very much like if you go back to when Trump and Hillary were facing each other. As I told you repeatedly, Trump was not my first, second, or even third choice out of all the Republicans that wanted to take that banner into the general election. But when it became Trump versus Hillary, Hillary Benghazi Clinton, I'll remind you of that every time, it was going to be Trump, and not just because of Trump and what he might or could do, because he still in many ways was an unknown. He talked a lot, blustered a lot, said things he shouldn't have said, accused of things that were obviously improper, not classy whatsoever. But my concern was appointments to the U.S. Supreme Court, because I was sure they were going to get at least one. We knew that, and maybe more. As ended up, he gets three appointments. Can you imagine what that court would look like if Hillary had been in place and got all three of those judicial appointments? and then Biden getting another one if she didn't run again. There's the issue, too, about spending. There may be a lot of Democrats that don't necessarily support all the Democrat issues, but they're quick to open up pocketbooks, and especially when it comes that they can put it into PAC monies that are not affiliated directly with a candidate, and they can add as much as they want. And all the Hollywood elites and all the Eastern establishment, they all put all their stuff together, and they can come up with some whopping dollars. And they can then have more people out doing what needs to be done to, when I say harvest the vote, I'm talking about actually bringing voters to the poll and are getting ballots in their hands for them to sign and then take them in for them. And to that extent, again, Simone, this political analyst, offered her view on that issue.
Democrats are, they are concerned enough to spend real money in this state. More millions and millions of dollars have poured into this runoff election. You've got organizations like the New Georgia Project, Action Fund, who have been knocking on millions of doors across the state. They are trying to pull people out, and I think the numbers we should be watching are for the people that vote in the runoff but did not vote in the general election. There's a large swath of those individuals, and predominantly younger black folks.
Let me repeat what you just said. There are many that did not vote in that general election that Warnock won by just 36,000 votes. They did not vote in that. And they got to make sure they get out and vote this time in this runoff election. And she said, in her words, many of them are young black folks. Well, Herschel Walker is black, superstar for Georgia, Heisman Trophy winner. But she's suggesting most of them are going to go Democrat. And in fact, with the red wave tsunami just turning out to be splish splash in the kiddie pool, another political analyst brought to the table over there on MSNBC, Kurt Bardella, talking about, you know, we have a situation right now because the GOP did not get everything they thought they were going to get in the midterms. They woke up the next morning and, boy, that was a hangover. We all drank out of the same wine. I had a guest on the other day talking about that very thing. We all drank that red tsunami wine. The next day we wake up, there was none, but we had a hell of a hangover. And Kurt Bardella, Democrat strategist, says, we've got the GOP on the ropes.
Like in sports, when you are on a winning streak, continuing that streak is the most effective thing you can do to get your agenda forward. The last thing that we need as Democrats right now is for coming off of the historically woefully underperformance that the Republicans endured in November to now give them a win of any kind. We have them on the ropes. They are on the defensive. They spent the last few days talking about things from defending white supremacy and trying to denounce Nazism. And they want to change the conversation so desperately. The only way that can happen is if they get a victory.
Yep. That's true. But will the Republicans pull it off in Georgia? And what it will mean for America with a House controlled by the GOP and us at least maintaining some credibility inside the Senate? If Warnock goes back, it's not going to look good. Coming up, something Senate GOP leader Mitch McConnell tried to slip through, but got caught.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
Here's exciting news for Cafe Napoli. Soon there will be Napoli Sea. Unique, exquisite, the finest, freshest seafood. Lobster, crab, the best caviar. Napoli Sea will be next door to Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles. So it's going to be easy to satisfy your seafood craving or the finest Italian food. Napoli Sea, coming soon. Joining Cafe Napoli, St. Charles, Town and Country, and Clayton.
I can't.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. You heard in that previous segment a commercial for Napoli 3 in St. Charles, one of the sponsors of this program, along with the other Napolis in Clayton and Town and Country. And I was at Napoli 3 last night, as a matter of fact, and had a chance to meet some listeners and talk to them. And they said, so you really come here? I said, of course I do. I support my sponsors, and I appreciate you supporting all of my sponsors. They keep us on the air. Thank you. I had the jumbo shrimp, which is an oxymoron because these things come out. If you're watching on Rumble right now, they come out looking like this. Shrimp? Shrimp I thought was tiny? Yep. When they say jumbo, they mean jumbo. You're going to need a knife, let me put it that way. So Senate GOP leader Mitch McConnell tried to move through the U.S. Senate a very controversial plan in secret, or at the last minute. It's just before the close of business yesterday. At least two GOP senators caught it, by God. That includes Senator Tom Cotton, and objected to it, put a hold on him trying to slip it through. To stop a bill from being passed unanimously through the Senate via the hotline track, only one senator needs to object. And McConnell was trying to use the procedure called a hotline to pass the Journalism Competition and Preservation Act, JCPA. It would carve out for establishment media outlets an antitrust exemption, allowing them to form cartels to collectively bargain with big tech companies. Proponents of the plan say it would even the scales and force big tech by making the big techs pay media outlets for their content. Critics worry they have too many issues facing both industries that are much worse because the bill is so flawed. Now, I haven't seen the entire bill. I don't have a full opinion on it. I do not like the fact that Senator Mitch McConnell thought he could slip it in through this hotline procedure yesterday. And we should praise Senator Tom Cotton for saying, wait a darn cotton-picking moment. Pun intended. That's not the way we want to do things. This is the kind of stuff that I mentioned the other day to a guest that when we start trying to clear out what we've got in the Senate, we need to also take a good look at Mitch McConnell. And for him to be House Speaker, we got the wrong guy up there for that. And my guest was taking umbrage at it, and we didn't get into a real argument, but listeners noted to me later and said, that guest really didn't agree with you. I said, well, I don't always have guests that I agree with, or they agree with me. That's fine. Discourse is a good idea if you can do it without losing your cool. That's the problem with many on the left. You cannot have a discussion with them, and you certainly can't discuss facts, because you start bringing out facts, they start screaming and yelling and ripping at their hair and maybe yours before it's over with. But confronting the issue head on and discussing what's good, what's bad, then you make some progress. I do note that the president of the Media Guild of the West, that's a union representing journalists and media workers in Arizona, Southern California, and Texas, has also slammed this Journalism Competition Preservation Act as a handout to a hedge fund that is the second largest owner of news operations or news companies in the U.S. They are the owner of Tribune Publishing, which it purchased back in 2021. They publish numerous papers, the Chicago Tribune, New York Daily News, Baltimore Sun, and dozens of others. So again, this act that was maybe going to allow media companies create a legal cartel in the U.S. and empowered to impose arbitration agreements on big tech companies. He says what it was going to do is give this global capital hedge group liquidity it needs to become a bigger landlord. So there was another issue that needed to be resolved. Don't be slipping stuff through in the middle of the night. That's not the way we want to do that in this country. And I cannot tell you how to... not just upset, I'm disgusted with Mitch McConnell trying to do that. There's no reason to do that unless he's got some kind of special PAC supporting him for next time around. All this, of course, consideration of this began, or expected to begin consideration in the House Judiciary Committee next Wednesday. So we'll see how it goes in, but for the leader of the Senate, Republican Mitch McConnell, to try that low, underhanded effort, I've got a few words I'll just withhold for right now. But I think you catch my drift, don't you? Coming up, we're going to focus again on protecting your children from woke predators. They're at it again, and they're going to continue. They're not going away. They're just changing tactics.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.